Blog Talk Radio. There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold.
You're listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen.
Who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his own.
This is the show where Christians share their walk from darkness down a sometimes long and lonely path to the light of healing and fulfillment through faith.
Seek out the hopeless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see. Take your candle and go light your world.
Right here on Blog Talk Radio. Good morning and welcome to this 21st episode of Step Into the Light on this Tuesday morning, February 2nd. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. On this show, we talk about the shadows that creep across the paths of our lives at one time or another in the form of such difficult circumstances as abuse, divorce, addiction, fear, debt, heartbreak, guilt, loss of a loved one, and rejection. Conversely, my guests share their light on those dark times with messages of hope, healing, success, perseverance, faith, and love. In the event that you're not able to listen to the entire show this morning, I would like to let listeners know where they can find it again. I have a website, and it is pattysheen.com. I'll spell that for you. It's pattysheen.com. If you go to that site, you will find my guest name, and there's a link right there. Just click on the name, and you will come up with this week's show. I also have a Blog Talk Radio tab on the website, which has a Show of the Week page, and this show will be active on that page up through next Monday. However, if a week goes by and you still haven't had a chance to come back and listen to the show, I also have an archived shows page. And that page has a listing of all the shows that we have done so far and a link to each one of them. So if you can't stay with us this morning, or if you'd like to listen to the show again, or you'd like to check out some other shows, please come on over and visit at pattysheen.com. I also have a Step Into the Light Facebook page. All you have to do is type in Step Into the Light in the search bar, and I'd love to have you come over and like the page. I'd like to have you follow me on Twitter. My Twitter account is @PattySheen, again, PattySheene. I also have a few Pinterest boards, and I have a Step Into the Light Pinterest board. And on that board, I put my guests, picture of my guest, and picture of their books, if they have books. And you'll find some interesting things over there as well. Well, this morning is an exciting morning for me, not only because I'm doing the show, but because here in southeastern Colorado, we have a fair amount of snow. I grew up out on the South Shore of Long Island, but spent a lot of my childhood in upstate New York in the Adirondack country because my dad was from there and he loved that country. So when we were up there in winter, we would get what I call a real snowstorm, where it would start snowing and it would snow for sometimes 2 or 3 days without stopping, and it was always very, very cold, and I just absolutely loved it, as did my dad. So I think every time we get a snowstorm here, it just reminds me of those childhood days, and I get all excited, and I'm like a little kid. I like to go out there and shovel the snow and all this, and I don't like the driving. In fact, my husband's supposed to have a medical appointment about 36 miles from here today, and knowing him, when he looks out the window and sees there's more than a half inch of snow in the driveway, he's going to say, "I ain't going," so I'm going to have to cancel that. I am blessed that our daughter, I do have a concern there. She works an hour away from home, lives here in our town, works an hour away, and had to be to work at 6 o'clock this morning. But I felt a great deal of relief when I saw her note on Facebook that said, "The roads were horrible, but I got here safe." So I'm grateful for that. I wanted to share a little short story with you this morning that I thought was kind of funny. I was watching TV the other night, and I had put some clothes in the laundry, and the washer stopped, and I thought, oh, I'll get it when the next commercial break comes. Well, then pretty soon my husband comes along, and he says, did you want to put those clothes in the dryer? And I said, yeah, I'll get them. And he says, did you want me to put those clothes in the dryer? And I said, no, I'll get them. And he says, well, I want to wash my jacket. And I said, oh, that's a good idea. I'll throw mine in there, too. So I'm gathering up things to put in the washing machine, and he's kind of watching me, and I go in there, and I start throwing these clothes in the washer, and he looks at me, and he says, do you think you want to take those wet clothes out of there and put them in the dryer first? So I'm so blessed to have a man who keeps an eye on me, because sometimes I do weird things. Well, it is time to introduce our guest this morning. Carol McAdoo is the author of Christian novels in several genres that appeal to readers of various age groups. Her works include nonfiction, historical and contemporary romance, biblical fiction, and mid-grade novels. She is independently and traditionally published by Howard Books, a division of Simon & Schuster. A Texan for most of her life, and you'll know that as soon as she starts speaking to us, Carol is a wife, a mom to adult children, and the proud grandma of 16 grandsugars. Her deepest passion is to share about God through her writing and in every other aspect of her life. If you want to hear a successful author's journey, how God led her to where he has and where she's going next, along with a surprise special treat from Carol, stay with us at Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. I'm so glad to be with you, Patty.
Oh, it's so exciting to have you here. And like I said before the show started, I'm grateful that we don't have any techie problems, because with the snow in this area, you never know. Either we lose our internet or we lose our Skype or something, but things are looking good. So the Lord has blessed us this morning, Carol.
Amen. And we've got 70-degree weather here in Texas. We've had it for about 4 days running now.
Oh, my goodness. See, we had up in the 60s last week. So you never know what it's going to do here. Of course, I say Colorado and everybody thinks, oh, yeah, the mountains and lots of snow. No, I'm on the southeast plains. I'm about 50 miles west of the Kansas border, so we don't get a whole lot of snow. So when we do, it's really exciting. Well, Carol, you have been writing for several years now. Can you point out aspects of perhaps your childhood that influenced your desire to write?
Well, I'd say that was probably my love of horses is what started it, because in my elementary school library, I read every book I could get my hands on that was about horses, and I wanted one so bad. And so I'd say reading, and it was the love of horses that got me to love reading so much. So that's why I decided I'd like to be a writer.
When I first moved to Colorado, of course, like I said at the beginning of the show, I came out here from Long Island, and I had this fascination with Colorado and the West ever since I was ever since Gunsmoke came on, and I was 4 years old. I actually purchased a horse when I got out here, but I did not have my own property, so I was paying someone to stable it and provide the feed and all, and it was very expensive, and I just didn't get to ride it much. So sadly, I had to sell my patches.
Eventually, yeah.
I think I kept them for about a year. But yeah,
right.
Horses are fascinating. I love them. I have a friend who's very much into horsemanship. She lives about 80 miles from me, and I think, oh, I wish I lived closer. I'd learn how to ride.
Yeah.
Well, Carol,
well,
I
don't do very much riding anymore, but I still have my Bliss, and she's in some of my children's books.
Uh huh. She's a real live character that you can model, or she's a real live entity that you can model your characters after, huh?
Yes.
That's pretty neat. Carol, from what I read, your husband actually started writing before you did, and now the two of you have created some of your works together. Tell us, what are the advantages and the disadvantages to writing as a married team?
Well, I love it, and the advantages, one of the things is that you have an understanding partner, because Ron's a writer. He doesn't, you know, get upset with me for my time in front of the computer. And also there's a co-conspirator you can bounce ideas off of without their eyes glazing over.
Yes, yes.
And then I think one of the biggest advantages is he always goes over, I mean, he is a part of everything that I write. And so he takes the masculine voice. And so all of my heroes are very strong men. And a lot of women that write romance, I think that's one of their hardest things is to get those men to sounding like men. But Ron takes care of that for me. He's my man's voice in all of the stories.
And that's a very definite advantage, Carol, because it is hard for a woman to write from a man's perspective and vice versa. It takes
and
a lot of research and getting inside of somebody's head.
That's exactly true. And then I guess the disadvantage would be whenever you get two strong creative personalities together, that it often ends with some fireworks.
Sure.
He tells the story about the time I threw a fork at him. But I don't think...
Got an aggressive side, do you hear, Miss Carol?
Well, he's the patient one, and I'm the fiery one. but I think that's one of the reasons why he loves me is because of my passion.
That sounds just like my husband and me. I get mad at the stupidest things, and my son used to say when he was young and lived here, he'd say, "Mom, it really upsets me when you get so mad at inanimate objects."
Well, I'm getting better. I've been working on it all my life.
Well, same here. But my husband is just very calm and cool and collected, and you hardly ever see him get riled about anything. And I think God kind of pairs us together, otherwise they would be major explosions in the world.
He indeed does that. He pairs us with the one, just the one we need. I met Ron when we were 16, and as soon as we graduated from high school in May, we got married in June. I had just turned 18 in May, and he was already 18, so we were just babies, but we've been together 50 years, and this year we'll be married 48 of those years. And
oh, my.
After our first date, it was just us. You know, that was it after the first date.
Well, our story is a little different. My husband was 36, and I was 26 when we were married. I didn't meet him until I moved here to Colorado and was 22. But my kids used to say, "Oh, how romantic, Mom. You had to move halfway across the country to find my dad."
Aww. Yes,
that's a story. But we'll be married, we're approaching 40. We'll be at 40 in 2017, so we're going to be 39 this year. And, it's been good. It's been good.
Yeah.
So, well, you've lived in Texas since you were very young, 6 months old. So Texas is basically all you know, Carol.
That's
and
right.
The first thing that comes to mind when I think about Texas is Dallas, Big Ranch. So curious to know if you have ever experienced the ranching life.
Well, absolutely, yes. And it all always centered around horses. And when I turned 25, my husband surprised me with a horse for my birthday.
We
didn't have a place to keep her. And so we ended up renting and then moving to 50 acres that's in out on a county line road between Dallas and Tarrant County. And so we had horses there. That was in 78. And then in 2001, Ron's dad died and left us a herd of 12 quarter horses.
Oh, my.
And to keep them, his brother didn't want any of the horses, so it's just the two brothers. So the Lord gave us 113 acres right in the heart of the Metroplex. It was in the river bottom because you know how much it to feed one horse, to board one horse. We had 12.
Oh, my.
So we couldn't afford that. And the Lord gave us this 113 acres that we call the River Bottom Ranch, and it was in Grand Prairie, actually 2 miles, 2 miles from where we lived in Irving. It was within walking distance. It was so close, and it could have been anywhere, but that's just how much he loved us. And we got that property for $100 a year.
Oh, my goodness, Carol.
A year. That was the lease that we paid. And we've still got it, for that matter. But the Lord just blessed us with it. Right across the street, there's a horse stables there, and they have 30 acres, and that guy paid $800 a month for his 30
acres. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. I'm not surprised.
See what God did for us. And then in 28, that was in 01, and 08, the Lord moved us to Red River County, which is about 3 hours north of Dallas. And Ron's brother had a ranch up here, and it's 916 acres. And though it belongs to his brother, we live here on it. And it's the McAdoo Ranch, so it seems like ours, and we get to play all over there's fishing, and all the kids have been hunting deer, and just all kinds of four-wheeler fun. And yes, it's wonderful. So there's 916 acres up here, so I know Big Ranch.
Oh, my. Well, I will share with you really quick. I said I had owned a horse and didn't really get to ride him much, but I guess my most memorable experience with a horse, Carol, before I moved to Colorado, I was a subscriber to Colorado Magazine. I was in love with Colorado, and I was working as a nurse, so I was making fairly good money, and I was living on station, so I had enough money when my vacation time came to take a substantial trip, and in the back of Colorado Magazine was an ad for a trip on horseback in the San Juan Mountains for 11 days. And I took that trip, and, oh, man, that was an experience I will never forget. But there's where I really learned how to handle my own tack, because they taught you how to saddle and bridle your own horse and how to take care of it, more or less, and this kind of thing. But I did have one experience where we were on one of those switchbacks where, I'm not kidding, you're looking down like 10,000 feet to your left, and the mountain is to the right, and that horse spooked and took off with me at breakneck speed, and I finally had no choice. I just jumped off on the side where the mountain was, the land was fairly close.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd rather take a 4-foot fall off of that horse than go the other way, it was an experience, I'll tell you. But anyway, I did want to share that with you. Well,
I've gone off a horse a time or two.
Well, I'll tell you what, for being a greenhorn like me, it was pretty scary, but it wasn't so scary that I didn't get back on again. So,
good.
Well, you and your husband wrote a book about antiquing in North Texas, and I must tell you, I know absolutely nothing about antiquing, but when I was a kid out on Long Island, there were a fair amount of antique stores. And my parents were not into antiquing at all, but I can remember being a little kid and thinking, oh, man, I wonder what's in that antique store. I can't wait till I grow up so I can go in an antique store. But anyway, you and your husband did write a book about antiquing in North Texas. When did you develop an interest in antiquing, and how much research did it require to write your book?
Well, Ron's mother, who we called Mama, she was an antiquing lady. And my mom was like yours. She never did really get into it. But after I met Ron and we went to her house every Sunday for dinner, well, my love for antiques and the stories behind them grew. And for that book, we were actually asked to write that book, and it was our first one. But we went every weekend for about 4 months and would go to the little towns all around the DFW Metroplex, and we'd go further and further out every weekend. And at first in the research process, we would pull into a little town and hold hands, walk around the square, go to the antique stores together, and come out. We'd we'd rate the antique stores, 1 to 5 stars, and how expensive
neat
stuff was. At the end of the 4 months, we were pulling into town, jumping out of the car, going different directions. Because we were quickly running out of time for our deadline, and so we were trying to hurry and get all the antique stores in. And but it was a fun book to research, and I still love antiques, and I still love going to antique stores and fingering everything. I guess I always will.
And how many antique places did you say you referenced in your book, Carol?
Oh, man, that's been 16 years ago. I think it came out in 2000.
Oh, good grief. Oh, my goodness.
I can't remember, but maybe 400, 600. It was a
lot.
Okay. That's what I remember. And the bad part is we saved Dallas for last because we could do that during the week, you know. And,
uh-huh.
Oh, man, those last few weeks, we were really traveling and hustling to get everybody in the book.
In the book. Oh, yeah. Boy, that's a lot. That is a lot of businesses to write about. Well, it sounds quite fascinating. Well, you have written for different age groups, and you've used contemporary and historical time periods for your settings, Carol. Your historicals tend to take place in the 1800s. Yay, that's my favorite time period. And also in biblical times. So what draws you to those two periods in history?
Well, that is a funny story because I believe it was a divine appointment when Mary Sue McAdoo Seymour, her maiden name was McAdoo, if you can believe that.
I know.
It was like God hit us on the head with a velvet hammer and said, pay attention, ladies.
Funny.
But she came to this little tiny Mount Pleasant Writers Conference, and I met her there. And Ron and I took her back to the airport after meeting her, and the conference was over. And she told us on the way back to the airport, if you will write a historical Christian romance set in the 1800s, I will sell it. And
oh, my.
So we dropped her off on Sunday. She had read our writing, and she felt like we were very good writers. But the one that she had was not what she needed, the one that we had offered her that day. So we dropped her off on Sunday and started writing Foul and Broken on Monday. I remember we sat at a Taco Bueno close to the airport and started discussing who was going to be our heroine and how the story was going to be. And we started writing it that next day, and we finished it in 3 months and sent it to her. And she signed us to a contract, and 2 months later, she sold that contract to Simon & Schuster.
Wow.
So it was just wonderful. And so nobody could tell me God wasn't in that, because from the time we met Mary Sue to the time that she sold that book was less than 6 months. It was just a miracle.
And that is a miracle because for most people, that writing road is long.
Yes, I know that. See, and God, well, we've been writing for a long time, and I've been wondering what God was going to do, and this was what he was going to do, was hook us up with Mary Sue McAdoo. And
funny.
The biblical fiction, well, I was saved when I was 9 years old, and I've always loved God, and my husband and I enjoyed reading biblical fiction, and we would read them together. He'd read some, and I'd read some, and he read this one that was called Noah, and he tells a story that it should have been called Joe in the Big Boat, because it had nothing to do with Noah of the Scriptures. And that's actually what got us started writing in the first place, because he figured if that lady could get published, certainly we could.
Mm-hmm.
And but from that, from reading biblical fiction, I remember one of the first ones was David and Bathsheba. And I just loved how those biblical characters that you knew so well came to life. And
yes.
Yes, and so we started with Adam. We thought we'd just do the generations, and started with Adam, and now we're through Abraham with the four books in that series.
And, of course, you were kind enough to send me a copy of A Little Lower Than the Angels, which is the first book in that series, and I want to thank you for that, Carol. We're going to go to a short break here, and when we come back, we will be talking about Carol's books, and we will have a special treat from Carol that I will share with you after the break. So you have to stay with us to find out what that is. For those of you who listen to the show, you know that our break is about 3.5 minutes. So if you want to go grab a cup of coffee or do whatever, we'll be back momentarily. Are you fighting what seems to be a never-ending battle to take off excess pounds? Have you tried diet after diet, resolved to banish the sweets and starches from your life forever, and fervently prayed for willpower? Author Janet K. Brown let God do the fighting for her, and she won with a 95-pound weight loss that she has maintained for close to 20 years. Now, Janet shares the lessons she learned with her devotional entitled Divine Dining, 365 devotions to guide you to healthier weight and abundant wellness. Allow yourself to be guided through your weight journey with these practical and inspirational daily readings grounded in scripture, illustrated with many of Janet's own experiences, and reinforced with a short prayer. This toolbox for overeaters combines a 12-step approach with a focus on the need for Christ as the center of your struggle. Janet's passion for diet, fitness, and God's Word holds the hope for you to achieve success as you strive to make choices that will lead to lasting lifestyle changes. Divine Dining, 365 Devotions to Guide You to Healthier Weight and Abundant Wellness by Janet K. Brown is available at Penn L Publishing, Barnes & Noble, and Amazon. Planning a trip to Colorado this year? 80 miles southeast of Pueblo on Highway 50, you'll find the town of Los Animas, where rich early 1900s American history is preserved within the walls of the John W. Rawlings Heritage Center and Museum. Since the opening of the new museum in May of 2012, the Pioneer Historical Society of Bent County is proud of the accomplishments of its all-volunteer team. Exhibits depict life on the plains in the early 1900s through the replication of home and business structures and possessions of such historical figures as John W. and Dorothy Hogue Rawlings, Kit Carson, Ambassador Thompson, and Ken Curtis, who played Festus Hagen on the long-running western Gunsmoke. Artifacts depict the life of the Native American, rancher, and farmer, and showcase tools of such professions as the cobbler, railroad worker, medical professional, and military. The Grand Hall on the second floor includes several quilt exhibits and an independent order of Oddfellows exhibit. The Old Trail Gallery features unique gifts made by local artists and historical publications of the Pioneer Historical Society of Bent County, such as the Bent County Chronicle. The John W. Rawlings Heritage Center and Museum holds a treasure trove of information for any history buff or historical author interested in events that unfolded in southeastern Colorado in the early 1900s. Located at 560 Bent Avenue in Los Animas, the museum is open Tuesday through Saturday, noon to 4 p.m. Cost of admission is $5 for adults, $4 for children, 6 to 12, with free parking available on site. For further information, contact them at 719-456-6066. If you drop by, be sure to tell them Patty Sheen of Step Into the Light sent you. Would you like an ad for your business, new book, or other product broadcast on Step Into the Light? Contact Patty Sheen at patty.sheen@gmail.com. That's patti.sheen@gmail.com. Now it's time to return to our show. Welcome back. You're listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen right here on Blog Talk Radio. Our guest today is multi-published author Carol McAdoo. Carol has been talking to us about her life in Texas and about how she got started writing and about some of the things that she has written, and we're going to delve into that a little further here in the second half hour of our show. But first, I'd like to let our listeners know where they can find Carol online. She has a website, and it is Carol, we'll spell that for you, C-A-R-Y-L, McAdoo, M-C-A-D-O-O.com. Carol has the first chapters of all of her books available there. She can also be found on Facebook under Carol McAdoo Author. She has a Twitter account, which is at Carol McAdoo, and she has a Pinterest account, which is also can be located by putting her name, Carol McAdoo, in the search bar. Carol has a number of other social media venues as well, too many to list here. However, you probably won't remember anything I said anyway, so I am going to refer you again to my website, which is pattysheene.com, pattisheene.com. On that site, you will find a Blog Talk Radio tab. Excuse me. One of the pages is website and social media information, I believe is what I have entitled it. And there you will find the links to all of my guests' social media venues and websites and so such. So if you just remember pattysheene.com, go there and you'll get all the information you need, because I know that you probably don't have a pen and paper handy while you're listening to the show. And a couple of weeks from now, you may think, oh man, I want to listen to that lady that I want to check out that lady's website that Patty had on her show back in February, and I can't remember her name, and I can't remember her website. Go over there, and it'll give you some clues, and you'll be able to locate who you want to make contact with. Well, Carol has a special treat for us. Not only is she an author, but God has also given her the gift of song, the ability to sing, which is something that I am so envious of, because I would love to be able to sing, but when I do, I sound like a bullfrog. I don't even sing in church. I lip sync. So, Carol, I think you wanted to come off of the break with a song entitled Good Morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord. Yes, ma'am. Good morning, Lord. The skies are blazing with the glory of the sun rising in the east. Roosters singing, roosters crowing, birds are singing, and I'm knowing that your love will never cease. I'm happy just to be alive, Lord. And I give you all the glory all my days. For I can see the beauty in the world you've made and not break into praise. That's a little chorus that the Lord gave me one morning on my way to work. And
very nice, Carol.
Thank you. Thank you. I love the Hebrew sound of it. But I thought since we were doing this first thing of the morning, I would sing that song.
Yes, and a little earlier for me than for you. I think you're an hour ahead of me over there in Texas. But thank you for blessing us with that, Carol. That was very nice. Well, you have been blessed to lead a wonderful life as a writer, a wife, a parent, a grandparent. But as we talk about on this show, we all experience times when shadows do cross our lives at one point or another. Can you share a dark time with us and how you found your way back to light?
I think that life is just a series of mountaintops and valley experiences. And so I've had my share, and I've learned, and I think the Lord has made me more into the image of Christ every time you go through one of those bad times. But I guess one time I thought I would share with you is when my oldest two boys were teenagers. That meant I had a 7-year-old girl and she was 10 and Russell was 3. I spread my kids way out. Well, anyway, there were many factors that contributed to it. We had our own company and there were constant company disagreements. We were having money problems. We had done $1.2 million in our third year of business, which was just exceptional. But then the boom and bust 80s, the bottom fell out, and we had money problems. Ron, before that, had wanted to be the boy's buddy, and I felt like I was always the wicked witch who was making them, you know, toe the line. You know
sure.
how that goes. You've got the same husband thing as I do. But anyway... I felt like my boys, they were in high school and they were wanting to quit and go to work, and I just felt like they were ruining their lives, and Ron was fixing to let them, and I hated my life. And this prophet came to our church, and he started talking about early morning prayer, and he specifically said, if you hate your life, commit to early morning prayer, and God will change it. And so I didn't tell Ron where I was going, but I just, because we weren't speaking a whole lot during that period. But I just started, and I'm a night person. I'm not a morning person, but I start getting up every morning at 5:30 and getting dressed and leaving. And he had no idea where I was going. And he watched me get up and leave early like that every morning for 2 weeks. And finally he asked me where I was going. I told him about that prophet, and I told him that I'd been going to prayer. And at our church, we were having 1 hour of prayer from 6 to 7 every morning. And so Ron, and I told him why I was going. And so he started coming with me. And my mother was going to that church, but at the time, Ron hadn't been going to that church. And so he started coming with me and praying. And we ended up praying for 3.5 years every morning for an hour, going to the church and praying. Even the pastor and co-pastor, they'd have us open up the church for the other prayers because we were so faithful. We just missed a handful of times. And God did change our lives. It was just marvelous and fantastic. And it just goes to testify that his word is true. When he says, if we seek him, we'll find him, and that if we will follow him and lean not to our own understanding, he'll guide and direct us. It's just, it's true, and it's true in my life. And he changed our lives, and we got back on track. And I guess that probably was the last bad time that we'd been through, and that was in the 80s. So, although we've had little, you know, bumps and valleys since then, that was probably one of the darkest times. I mean, it got so bad we divided the house right down the middle. He lived on one side with the two teenage boys, and I lived on the other side with the two little kids.
Oh, my goodness, Carol.
Oh, it was terrible, but we got through it by the grace of God and his mercy. He saw us through. And I just want to, anybody out there who might be having marital problems, I just want to encourage them to go to God and stick with it, because every time you get through one of those really hard patches, you come out on the other side deeper in love. I mean, it just so cements your relationships when you go through those with God. And if you don't have God, that's who you need to get through it, because I don't know how couples who are not Christian ever make it.
Ever make it, I know.
Such times, yes, without his help.
And prayer is such a powerful, powerful tool that we have at our disposal. And how many of us take advantage of it and really utilize it in the way that we should.
Amen. It'll change your life, committing that early morning, getting up early and praying is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Well, I usually ask my guests if they have a favorite inspirational quote or Bible verse that does help them through their dark times, kind of a go-to verse when things really get tough. And I know, Carol, that once again you would like to address that in song. And I believe that
yes.
The name of your song is Whatsoever Things Are Lovely.
Yes, I have a problem during bad times of dwelling on it, you know, of it just going over and over in my mind.
Oh, I think we all do. Sure.
It causes you to be so stressed and, you know, you just think about it all the time. And when I have times like that, the Lord will give me a song, and he's given me two songs about this very thing, about what you think on, what you meditate on. So I thought I'd just sing one of them. It goes, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are worthy of a good report, I will think on these things. I will meditate on the goodness of my God. I will gravitate to his holy word. I will celebrate his everlasting love for me and bring glory to the name of the Lord. I will bring glory to the name of the Lord.
Very nice. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. They're just little choruses, but, you know, when my brain would start going to those places I didn't want to, I would just start singing that song, and all of those dark thoughts would just evaporate and go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and God has a way of doing that for us. Well, Carol, time flies so fast on this show. So if you could give us an overview of your books, your series. I have promised listeners that you would talk about that. Kind of give us your elevator pitch.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I guess my most favorite series that everybody loves is Family Saga in the 1800s. And we started writing it because we had already written The Chief of Sinners, which takes place in 1929 to 1950. So when Mary Sue asked for that 1800s book, we used the same family names and went back to the 1800s and started with their ancestors with Vow Unbroken, Heart Stolen, Hope Reborn, Sins of the Mothers, I can't remember Daughters. I just got Daughters and Just Ken.
Is Just Ken in that series? Yeah.
It's book number 6, yes, and it just came out in January. And A Daughter's Heart. And anyway, so that's the series that I just am loving. And we're still only up to 1861, writing to that 1929 through 1950 book. So we're probably going to have at least 10 in that series. I love my mid-grade books and really enjoy those. The themes of the books are all salvation and redemption. I love bringing God glory in my writing. The latest one, the theme is love covers a multitude of sins. And I produce flawed characters who ultimately do choose God. That's my prevailing theme. And I give them hard choices to make. And in Just Ken, there is quite a bit of sin because love covers a multitude of sin. And we all have those times when we make bad choices. And I'm getting a little bit of flack. Of course, I don't go into any detail at all on the sin. But there is adultery, fornication, there's gambling and drinking in that book, which a traditional house would not accept that. But that's the way life is. I mean,
it's in the
Bible. All of those sins are in. So anyway...
Exactly.
Yes, and so that's what I enjoy doing is giving God glory through my writing.
Well, I'll share with our listeners a little comical story that I shared with you, Carol. When Carol sent her list of social media venues to me, she had Facebook, Just Kin. Oh, well, I don't want to announce that URL because that's just for her family. I didn't realize that she had a book out entitled Just Kin, so that will be reflected on. I thought, I wonder why she sent me this private Facebook page. Surely she doesn't want me to put that out in public. It was kind of comical. I didn't realize the title of your book at the time, so that will be on the website. Like I said, Carol, time is winding down here. And because I know you want to do a couple of more songs.
Okay.
And I believe that you wanted to, in fact, when you talk about your message, you wanted to bless us with another song, didn't you? And I'm sorry I didn't catch the title of that one.
Okay, well, we had been talking about our my grandsugars. And I have 16. And so each one of the kids I write their own song for, and I thought I'd just share one of those because it kind of has a country western Texas kind of sound. But this child's name, he's a senior in high school now, but his name is Gregory Bram. And the song goes, Gregory Bram, how happy I am that God made you to be a McAdoo. Such a handsome face for Grammy's finger to trace. My little Greggy Pooh, your Grammy sure loves you. You're every bit of boy. You're your daddy's pride and your mama's joy. And Brother Matthew, he thinks you hung the moon. He thinks you hung the moon. You are the Lord's watchman, so do all you can to grow big and strong, not in might, but by the power of his word. Gregory Bram, how happy I am. There's just a repeat then.
Oh, how neat.
And I know time is short, so I won't sing it, the repeat part.
And you wrote a song for all 16 of your grandkids, huh?
I did.
That is amazing.
I just don't ever know how a song's going to come out. It's all up to the Lord, and he just gives it to me. And so some of them are country and western, and some of them are like lullaby-ish and just all different kinds of tunes.
Well, that is so neat. I happen to really enjoy country and western music. In fact, way back when I was attending nursing school, and this was in the 70s, and everybody else was into all this other stuff, my thing was I had an old Buck Owens tape.
Uh-huh.
An 8-track, I think it was. I don't even know if we had 8-tracks back then. I don't know. Cassettes, 8-track, whatever in the world it was. Something that today's kids wouldn't even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I had like 3 or 4 country and western tapes, and I used to play them over and over and over. And when I was really young, and we had, remember the transistor radios?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, well, my sister and I each had a transistor radio, and I couldn't wait for midnight on the East Coast, because then a lot of the other stations would go off the air in the New York area, and I could pick up Wheeling, West Virginia, and that was the only country and western station on the whole Eastern Seaboard, I think, at that time. And, of course, people just thought I was absolutely nuts that I liked this weird stuff, because, of course, everybody else was all into the Beatles and all these people.
Sure.
And look at today. I mean, country and western music is just permeates the whole country and probably most of the world, you know. So it's kind of interesting.
It definitely does.
Yeah. Well, Carol, like I said, the only book of yours that I have had the opportunity to read is the first book in your biblical fiction series, which is A Little Lower Than the Angels. You express some very, what I found to be, unusual or unique beliefs about Adam and Eve. Take us through the clues that led you to draw the conclusions that you did about them being born as basically very young, I guess even in the baby stage.
Yes,
if I understood that correctly.
You did. And I guess I'd say logic shaped my reasoning. Scripture says that God made a man. And the way you make a man is to raise up a boy in the way he should go. And so just with that one idea, as you start looking at what the words of the Scripture says, when it says God made a man, it doesn't say he made a full-grown man. It says he made a man, and the only thing for reference to that point were animals and fish and birds. And so a baby boy would be called a man. I mean, that's his species.
Right.
And so I did that. And the reason why that I wanted to write that, well, the next thing it says that God brought all the animals to Adam to see what he would name them. And that just reminded me of a daddy today who would bring home a puppy or a kitten to his son and see what he'd call it. And I just wonder, with all of the animals that he brought Adam to name, how long that would have taken. Even if you spent 8 hours a day on it, it just would have taken, it seems, forever. So I lit up on the age of 15 for when God determined that none of the animals were suitable as a helpmate, and made Eve for Adam. And that then that he brought Eve as a baby. And that Adam grew her up, and she was his, like his daughter. She was like his sister. She was like his everything. He loved Eve with a love that was just beyond any comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
And when he heard the devil's song and went to the tree, ran to the tree, he knew that it was the devil, and he, because he had been tempted before, and he knew that the devil was tempting Eve, he ran to her rescue and got there just as she took the bite of the forbidden tree, and or the fruit of the forbidden tree.
Right.
And he saw that she was going to die. That's what God said. And he couldn't stand to live without her. He couldn't stand it. He loved her too much. And I never was able to understand why Adam would have ever taken a bite of that fruit. Why in the world would he have? Because he knew Father. He walked with him in the garden. And as, even as a child, I just couldn't understand why Adam did that. And looking at the story in this way, it made it believable to me that Adam, it was love. It was his love for Eve, and that he couldn't live without her, and basically was kind of like committing suicide. You know, if she was going to be gone, he wanted to be going with her.
He wanted to be too. Mm-hmm.
Of course, he didn't trust God. Had he trusted God, perhaps everything would have been different and God would have restored her to him. But he did not, and he chose and was tempted off of the devil and knew what he was doing when he ate that fruit. And it forever changed mankind. But if God had made Adam full grown and he hadn't had any experiences to grow up, to draw from, how could he have been a father?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to show my readers that the scriptures can tell a completely different story than the traditional ones that we grow up believing, and that they should all try to look at the scripture with a fresh perspective, and because other stories could certainly see it, the exact same scriptures. You know, I mean, we know sometimes that the traditional stories are actually wrong. Just like, for instance, the wise men coming to the birth of Jesus. They didn't ever come to the manger. The wise men didn't. They didn't see Jesus until he was a toddler. And there weren't three wise men, as the traditional story goes. We actually don't know how many there were.
Mm-hmm,
so there's
mm-hmm.
just things that in the traditions of men that sometimes don't line up. And I just wanted to encourage readers to look at the scriptures themselves and pray about it and see if God showed them something different.
Well, not only that, Carol, we've discussed this in our Bible studies at church and in our adult Sunday school class that I'm involved in now and in many different venues, is the fact that we are viewing the infinite through our finite view. You know, we are limited to the rules of physics and all this kind of thing, and God is not.
That's right.
As far as a time frame and all that, we think in the time frame of 24 hours and 7 days to a week and 365, or this year 366 days to a year. But God lives in this infinite realm that we can't begin to comprehend. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up, that I really enjoyed your take on that, and I also enjoyed the fact that you addressed it at the end of the book to the readers. You answered some questions, and I thought that was just really neat. And I would encourage our listeners, as we wind down here, to check out Carol's books. I definitely need to get my hands on your 1800 series.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Right up
You're
my alley.
Yeah.
So I know, Carol, that you have a special treat for us for the end of the show, so I don't want to cut us off with that. We have about 5 minutes left. So I did want to remind listeners once again to go to pattysheen.com, and that is where you will find give me a couple hours to get that up there, maybe by the end of the day, to get all of Carol's information up on my website under the Blog Talk Radio tab on the website and social media page. There you will find all the information about Carol as to where she can be found. And I will put some of her books up on my Pinterest page, and you'll be good to go. You'll be able to find out how to order her books. And once again, I would encourage you to do that. I have a little closing statement that I usually say, and I'm going to go ahead and say that. But after that, Carol, I would like you to address what is your next big adventure, and you wanted to address that in song, or did you have a couple of words you wanted to say about that first?
Well, the next big adventure is an easy question for me, because my brother-in-law, he bought a yacht, and he and his wife, Carol, yes, there are two Carol McAdoos.
Oh,
and
my
his
goodness.
Wife, Carol, both the brothers married a Carol. They've invited us to go to Alaska. And so in May, we're leaving here and flying to Seattle and getting on the boat, and it's 11 days on the ocean to get up to Alaska, and we're going to sightsee there and then sail back to Seattle and then come back to Dallas. So that's about the biggest adventure I think I've ever
Oh, my goodness, I guess. And, of course, there'll be plenty of fodder for writing in that. Oh, my goodness. Wow,
absolutely.
That sounds like awesome fun. You know, I have friends around here that talk about going on Caribbean cruises, and my son and daughter-in-law went to Hawaii for their honeymoon and all that. And my feeling is, forget it. Give me Alaska any day.
I'm comfortable on an airplane. Plenty comfortable, but I've really never been on a boat on the sea. And this is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 55-foot boat, so or yacht. So it's a big boat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my husband is scared to death of water, so I'll never get him on a cruise or anything like that. But I would love to go to Alaska on a cruise sometime.
My brother-in-law Bruce, he told me that all the way we're going on an inland isle or something, intercoastal, he said all the way you can see land, all the way, it's a little short section, you can see land, so maybe that'll make me feel better, but anyway, we're going to stop into Canada, I have to get a passport, I never had a passport before, so
I'm
looking forward to this trip with trepidation. And I just know I'm going to enjoy it once I go.
Well, we have a son and daughter-in-law in the UK, and we've never been over there, and I'm not sure with my husband's medical stuff going on if we ever will get there, but it's hard telling. Well, Carol, we're down to 2 minutes, so I'm going to, I know you wanted to finish up the show in song, so I am going to give my little closing statement, and then I will let you take over. Once again, I want to thank you ever so much for being on the show with us. We had a wonderful visit, and we were very blessed to have you with us this morning, and God bless you. To our listeners, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time, and when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Be sure to join us next week, Tuesday, February 9th at 8 a.m. Mountain Daylight Time, or Mountain Standard Time. Remember that all the shows are archived. Go to pattysheen.com and you'll find them. Carol, take it away.
This is a song the Lord gave me. I just need to know your will. I just want to be in your will, Father. I just need to know your will. I just want to be in your will, Father. I just need to know your will. For to walk in obedience is what I long to do. For to walk in obedience shows how much I love you. Open my ears, Lord. Help me to hear. Teach me to listen. As I I draw near, silence my flesh, Lord, in Jesus' name. And by the power of his might, I will proclaim that demons and devils shall not speak to me. I'll not hear their cries or their blasphemies. I only will hear the sweet voice of my Lord, and then I'll obey his every word. I just want to be in your will, Father. I just need to know your will.